The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Holy crap. Welcome back to another episode of Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by me, Kyle Schoenewill, and him, Robbie Earle. That Billie Eilish song at the end hit so hard. Do you think random that they chose a Billie Eilish? I do not think
it's random.
Do you absolutely think it's crazy? Random? It's not random. We learned from WandaVision. If you remember those credit songs, there was all the different ones, and they all applied in some way.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're choosing this Billie Eilish song because of The Crown, but I don't think it's coincidence that's Billie doing it. What an episode! Yeah. I have enjoyed the show thus far, and. Like, I wasn't as high on last episode, but episode 5 again reminded me of that feeling. So, like, I'm back.
Yeah.
Like, Alice is dead and I'm back. I'm just kidding.
Can I say something about that real quick?
Alice is gone. We're good. Yeah.
This is why.
I was kidding, by the way. I was kidding.
This is why I am glad that we were honest about where we were last week. And I should say, it seems as though a lot of people liked episode 4 more than we did, which is always kind of my hope if there's something that doesn't hit as much for me. But I'm also glad that we were on the same page there, because now it makes an episode like this hit so much harder whenever I'm like, okay, yeah, last episode, that's fine. It didn't work as much for me. But this episode, man, this might be my favorite episode of the bunch.
This is my favorite episode of the bunch.
And I didn't even know, like, a lot of people talking about the time, like that it was too short. And I thought we got so much in that span. I wasn't even upset that it was over. I mean, obviously I would have been happy to get more, but it was like, to me, it was 10 out of 10 all around.
That's a great take, because the only reason it was shorter is because we just got going right away. There was no filler content. Like, the second we started, they're running away from the witches, the Salem Seven, right away into the brooms, right away back into the trial. Like, there was no debate before going into the trial. So everything about that I love too, because we already saw like what it looks like for them to stand at the door and be like, I don't want to go in. And like, there was just all of that was cut out. And then once they're in the trial, they cut out all the like, oh, wow, I can't believe we're here, and look at the vibe. Like, and I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying, yes, I'm with you. They cut out all the filler stuff, so that's why it was short. But no, it was so action-packed. I want to go back to my original premise. I like so many things in the MCU, and everyone knows that. But there are levels to this. And so, like, episode 4, I liked. But if someone asked me after last week, I'd be like, yeah, it's good. But that's not the same passion. That's not the fire burning in me that I sometimes have when I watch Iron Man 1 or WandaVision or The Avengers or Civil War or Ragnarok. And I'm not saying this is on that level, but I had full blown chills multiple times. I mean, the Billie Eilish song, like, full blown chills, but also, this is the episode that fully embraced that darkness that I was wanting. Like, this was legitimately creepier, darker.
At several points.
And had all these questions. And it's bringing in more of the Scarlet Witch than I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was full-blown chills. I'm not kidding. 4 or 5 times. So I'm back on this episode, man.
I think I'm going to sound like you here. I think we should start there. I think we should start with the big quasi reveal there at the end and kind of work our way back from there, because there were a lot of great moments. Like, I love the start of this episode. I love the way that so many things were executed, and I want to get into all that. But obviously, the big takeaway is, you know, last week we talked about this rumor that Teen was actually Billy, Wanda's kid, sort of, in some universes, not AKA this universe, Wicked. Kind of this universe. Yes. And, you know, even before we got the actual moment at the end with him kind of having the crown and the magic, we also kind of got hints, like he was wearing the headband that Wiccan has. There were some similarities both between like what he's wearing in the cabin and the comics costume, but also between the costume that Billy wore in WandaVision in the Halloween episode. And so there was some synergy building up there. What do you think about this reveal? Do you think it is exactly what it looks like? Is there a chance that this is like a head fake? And if this is what it looks like, are you happy about it?
Okay. I think it is exactly what it looks like. I'm stoked on it because of the tie back to WandaVision and to Wanda as a character. If it was a head fake, man, that would be, you'd be going so deep on the head fakes. I mean, it would be like such a head fake. Just because I think this late into the series, the only thing I can think of that's a head fake is if he was also being controlled by somebody else, like if Wanda could somehow control him to do that. But I just think, this to me was the Agatha All Along, that song reveal of this series. And I think it'd be really hard to now go backwards and say, actually, that was just like a trance, or he was being controlled, or.
I guess it could be like a Ralph Boner thing, but again, they've kind of played that card, so it would feel a little bit cheap if they did like it's just a random person.
Yeah, but the Ralph Boner actual reveal wasn't till the second to last episode, but right. I feel like to reveal it here, like what's the plot then? I see what you're saying. I think it is what it is.
I think it's too. You would have to untangle too much now. That said, I mean, one thing that I love about this is when it's happening, like this whole episode, to step back for a second, I thought was such a perfect episode 5 for a 9-episode season, because it, like you and I talked last week, I thought that this week we were going to wind up getting the Lilia backstory. And then maybe next week would be Agatha's. And I love that instead of them taking the predictable route, we jump straight to Agatha's this week. And then we have this reveal. It's like there were these things that we were, it is so WandaVision, because I remember every week we would get on and we would say, we thought this was the big mystery and now it's solved. Okay, but now there's this mystery. And it was like they kept making you feel like, okay, this is the thing that they're going to like drag out all season. And then they like immediately resolve it in an unexpected way. And then now there are new questions. And that is like, that's what made that show so fun to cover the first time around. And that's what made this episode so fun to watch, is like, I did not expect to get either of those this episode. And so now it's like, I don't know what else we have coming and what, like where that leaves the witches.
So I think we got to talk about Billy or Wiccan or Teen's motivation in all of this now. Now we're forced to zoom back out and say, okay, like, did he know, like, was his plan all along? Was he faking the kind of like true caring about the coven just to get to this point? Or does he like go dark when he like goes into that mode? And that's a different kind of human, almost like the Scarlet Witch with the Darkhold was different than what Wanda was like, almost like he's possessed. Or from the beginning, was his plan just to try to fake empathy for a coven so that they would go along just so he can get to the end of the road? And then the question becomes, dude, what if the rug pull here, and I don't know if it's going to be this literal, but what if the rug pull in an Agatha All Along show is that he is the one that wants to get to the end of the road to bring back his mother. And what if that's how we're going to say that his mother is not gone in all this?
I mean, so what's weird to me is I don't know that we would need that. That would make sense. Like, I don't know what other motivation he would have if it is in fact Billy to walk the witch's road.
It is, by the way, right when he's not only the crown, but Christoph Beck does the ba-na-na in the music when he's doing it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
No. So I think that would make sense. I think what's interesting for me is we've talked a lot about whether Wanda would come back, when she would, how she would. And I know that Elizabeth Olsen has in interviews been saying, you know, under what sort of conditions she would want to come back. But I think what's funny is there was such an intentional like flash of the red light at the end of Multiverse of Madness that I've just never really even bought that was supposed to be a death. Like, you know, there are some where it's like, okay, Vision comes back and we have to explain how, because we saw him die in this very real way. Like Loki dies in this very real way. And then we have to kind of explain how he's back again or what version. But like Wanda, it was established that she was this like uber powerful being. And then like, you know, this, whatever you want to call it, shrine crumbles. But then we see like if it would be one thing if it just crumbled and we saw it all fall on her and then that's the end. Then I think it would be safe to say like, oh, okay, like Wanda's dead, which then would bring us to now. And you could see how Billy would be trying to somehow resurrect her. But I'm not.
You're just interpreting the Flash as more of like an escape or the loss of the Scarlet Witchness of it or something, you're saying? Because I think even Wanda or Elizabeth Olsen has kind of hinted that the Flash of Red was more leaning into a signifying of her death. You're taking it the other way.
Yeah, I guess so.
By the way, I'm with you though. Even if she's not dead, that's what I mean by I don't know if teens' motives will be that literal. Like, my mom's dead, bring her back from the dead. But it could be something, like, related. She's missing or, like, I don't know where she is or she's lost in the multiverse or she's lost that power and I want that power back or I don't know what.
Yeah, I guess it just – it feels to me like there was a – like, I could see what that would have looked like if it were actually intended to be like an emotional final moment for Wanda. Like, this is her death. Like, we got an emotional final moment of like redemption, but we can talk about that down the line. I think you're right though. That would be like, it makes sense that that would be the motivation, but because that makes sense, I'm wondering if it would be that simple, which kind of takes me to my other question. Which we sort of got at last week. Like, if Billy is here, one, where is Tommy? And two, which versions of Billy and Tommy are we even talking about? Like, would this be like an older version of the Billy that she kind of constructed out of the Mind Stone that disappeared somehow? Would this be like a Billy from another one of these universes where Wanda did have kids and he's like traveled to this reality? Like, do you have any, are you leaning in one direction or the other? What was like your initial, like you saw that reveal? Did you associate that as like the actual character from WandaVision?
It can't be, right? That child. Disappeared and the age difference is so stark. But again, in WandaVision, the whole thing was kind of make-believe anyways, like hence them aging so fast.
Yeah.
So I think I took it as that's an obvious shout out to the Billy we know, but because of magic, like it's something else. I don't think it's the literal child grown up, but I think there's just a lot of like ambiguous nature around the Darkhold and what Wanda was able to do with it and what has she been doing if she's not dead in Multiverse of Madness, what has she been doing?
Well, and
Is this one of those Billies from one of the other multiverses that's a little bit grown up, but that Billy for whatever, maybe because he's Wiccan, he's aware of this Scarlet Witch, maybe, or I don't know.
I mean, I do think it makes sense that it would be Billy, like as we're moving towards this Young Avengers project of some sort, I would imagine. And I do think that there are some comics we can get into down the line that I need to go back and reread to kind of talk about what they could be doing here, because there is precedent for like Wanda thinking she has kids and then those kids not really existing, but then having literal kids after the fact that are the same as the kids that she imagined that she had. So like it has been done, but I'm wondering, like, is that what we're doing? Or yeah, like this is where the multiverse of it all gets a little confusing and a little bit hard on the speculation side, because there's like, I'm not totally sure what the rules are. So I don't know, yeah. Like there's a part of me where I'm like, is there like a cheat code element to this where you could just basically say like, this is Dark Maybe. Billy from universe like 597 and he's got an axe to grind? Or
I mean, maybe they've done that with so many other things. They did that with Wolverine.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, again, it's the title of the saga. So
here's what and we've talked about that part of it forever. Here's what I think I know. They want Wanda Maximoff, as characterized by Elizabeth Olsen, to be the main character in the last two movies. That's what they want. I know that. And they want to get there somehow. That's what I think. They want like Dr. Doom.
You know that. And is that based on is that based on any like rumors that you've heard, or is that based on your own passion for Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda Maximoff?
It's not just my own passion. It's like the business side of it. I just know I'm right on this. They don't want a character, like an actress of that magnitude who's into it, who wants to be involved, and a character of that power to not be involved. They want her involved, and so they have to find a way to bring her back. I even think now, I wonder, like I said, if she's going to be confirmed as back in this series and all the stuff that she was talking about Elizabeth Olsen on the late night shows, what was the interview with Kimmel, that she was just buying time. Because she was making these comments of like, we got to find the best writers to figure out how we can make this work. And I wonder if that was all BS because she already knows.
I mean, I think that it would be incredible if we got an actual glimpse of Wanda at the end of this.
She may not actually be in it, but I'll die on that hill. That the end game is that they're working toward her being a main figure in the last movie or two.
No, I think that's fair. I don't know that I feel confident enough that she would be the main figure, but I think that maybe she would not be the, a maybe main
the,
figure.
Not, maybe not the. She'll be one of the top five.
No, I think that's fair. So the other question with Billy, okay, that moment when he's saying, you know, you let her die or you killed her. And like, she's like, I didn't mean to. And he's like, yes, you did. Like you were saying earlier, like, was he from the very beginning kind of lying about his own motivations and who he was? What I can't figure out is, did she just push him so far that like in that moment that he unlocks some like hidden power that is similar to Wanda's? Because Wanda doesn't, like, the Scarlet Witch persona, I thought, like, fully emerged after she, well, I guess it was before she was really using the Darkhold, because we saw it in WandaVision. I guess, like, the Darkhold is just kind of what took her, like, fully down the evil path. But I guess I'm just trying to figure out.
And Westview was set up because she was pushed too far. So that's very similar.
Right, that's
like
true.
Before the
that's
Darkhold, true. She basically created it because her emotion had so exploded over her grief. So that's similar to how Billy's character reacts when he's pushed too far, a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Why would he have put Jen and Lilia in the like.
That's the important question. Because if he was just doing it out of anger towards Agatha, the fact that he then pushes them out once they do his bidding and then bury them, that's where I'm asking, is he possessed by something else? Like, is that not him when that's happening? I don't know, because that seems like, or yeah. Has he decided that they've gone far enough down the road that now he can do it by himself at this point?
I mean, what is the thing? See, that he that's where like
I don't think that was his motive the whole time. The little his little journal, his diary of all the spells and stuff.
Okay. Okay.
What is Wiccan's power in the comic? Like, can Wiccan just mind control people?
I mean, it's basically like it's very similar to Scarlet Witch, at least like the way that her powers are portrayed in the MCU. I mean, it's like reality altering. Like, I think that it's like I forget what the like mental control element is, but I know that like the general reality altering is there, which I do think is like kind of how Wanda does all of her stuff, which is one of the reasons why I've always thought it's weird that she has like the Mind Stone instead of the Reality Stone as the source of her powers in the MCU. But
right.
But yeah, so I think that like it's fair to say that he is doing something here that's analogous to what we saw Wanda do in both WandaVision and Multiverse of Madness. It's a fun way of looking at like who she is separate and apart from the Darkhold potentially, and like what it is that she's passed on and kind of what his motivations would be in that regard. But I'm just trying to figure out what is it that triggered this for him, and what is it that triggered Agatha suddenly knowing who he is? Because I didn't think that Agatha was like, I don't get the sense that she knew that this entire show and just sprung that. Like, I thought that she legitimately didn't know. So I didn't know if it was like her getting the power from Alice that now she kind of has like this insight that she didn't have before because she was powerless until now, or if it was something that he did that made her realize who he actually is.
That's why I do think the most important question is going back to what's Teen's intentions all along now. And again, as a quick side note, qualitatively, that's why I love this episode, because I was like rushing to get on this podcast to talk about all the theories. And I love when I don't have to come on here and talk about the quality, because I'm so into the story that now I'm like just bypassing any of the, you know what I'm saying? Like any of the, like, this looked good, this didn't look good. Like all that was so second importance to me now, because I cared about the story, which that's my favorite place to be. But by the way, like, I thought the Salem 7 were awesome. I thought that looked awesome. I thought the music was awesome from Christoph Beck today. Like there are a lot of things like that.
The ghost possessed Agatha was freaky in a good way.
Yep. The Stranger Things vibes with all the lights and the 80s outfits was really cool to me. Yeah. I liked that they didn't spend as much time on the outfits. Like, it didn't feel as forced. It was just, that's what happened with this one. So there's a lot of like things on a quality perspective that I just really liked, but his intentions now, it makes you ask that question about the entire time. I had a friend text me exactly what you just asked me. How did Agatha all of a sudden know? And that's another important question I don't have the answer to. What about that last 15 minutes made her believe that was Wanda's son? Then I want to ask about the spell, the sigil. So like, we still don't know who put that on him and why. So did Wanda put that on him? And if this is a Billy from a different universe, or where is this Billy from? Is he still in touch with Wanda? And if that's the case, why does he need to get to the end to bring her back? So that might not check out there either. So it depends on where this Billy is and who put that spell on him. So why would Wanda not want other people to know that he is her son, or maybe she, maybe he's not her son directly, like the same Wanda, and that's why the spell is on there. She doesn't want that to get out. But yeah. Then the question is, like, who put that on them? Why? Why doesn't Agatha want to know? Then why does this episode reveal that now she does know? And from the get-go, when we saw him, were his intentions to, like, just learn more about witches? Did he want to just walk the witch's road with the coven and feel what that was like? And then why does he switch? If that was his intention, what makes him snap to where he then gets possessed and sends those people in the ground? And then, yes, the other one, like you said, I'm just repeating this all, but yeah, then the fact that he sends Lilia and Jennifer in the ground, why? They didn't do anything. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a wild episode.
Especially because it, like, the thing that seems to spark that is him being so upset at what happened to Alice. So it's weird that he would, like, after being so mad at Agatha for hurting Alice, for killing Alice, it's weird that he would then turn around and potentially do the exact same thing out of anger. Like, it's a, like, there's got to be something else happening there that we don't understand. Like, and I'm like, I just have no idea what it is. Like, I don't get why, like, because again, like, Westview was because Wanda was trying to, like, create the world that she wished she could live in. So you understand why she did everything. Like, there was no level of, like, I'm just punishing people because I'm angry at what happened to me. Like, that was a byproduct.
Right.
But here, like, if he is having that same kind of reaction, yeah, it would make no sense for him to include them. It would make way more sense. Also, he was the one in the cabin that was so intent on defending Agatha initially, like, against the other ones that wanted to punish her. So you could also see after the fact where he would say, like, you know what? Yeah, like, I'm with them now. Like, let's all jointly punish you. And then we're going to keep going on the witch's road instead of I'm punishing you and them. And then, yeah, like, and then also, like, why was he so, like, does Billy even know who he is and what power he has? Because I don't know who he would have been putting on a show for when it came to the Salem 7 in episode 2. Like, whenever we see him in the house, there's no one else with him. Like, everyone else is in the basement and they're coming up and Billy's, like, freaking out and afraid of the Salem 7. But if Billy is as powerful as we just saw him at the end of episode 5, I don't know that he had to run scared in the same way. Like, if he's got, like, Scarlet Witch level magic or even, like, anything close to that, then I feel like he would actually be able to hold his own with the Salem 7.
That's where right now, if I had to choose which way I'm leaning toward, no, he didn't know. Like, something else is taking him over, whether it's his anger and he turns into a different person, or whether it's someone else literally controlling him. Like, I don't think he knew all of that necessarily, because I don't think the empathy for the witches, the coven, Alice, etc., was faked. So it feels to me more like what makes sense is that he snapped, and it's not a different person, but it's almost, I don't know, something else inside him, in the way that, like, the Scarlet Witch was not Wanda anymore, kind of thing. Almost like he's like, it'd be fascinating to see if he wakes up in the next episode, like, blacked out and was like, what happened? That will be telling, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. He doesn't say anything right after, like, his eyes start glowing blue and he's wearing the crown. Like, he doesn't have any lines. Twice.
I don't think he says anything. No, I think he's just ticked off.
So that's like, I think that's also kind of telling, because he's like, we're not really seeing any hint of personality there. But yeah, man, I have,
there's, like, no, there's way so that many Wanda questions. Could be dream walking in his body, right? You don't have to be dead, do you? No, because she takes over the other Wanda. in Multiverse of Madness or something like that.
No, you're supposed to not.
Is that possible?
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 I mean, right. Because when they do the dead person, that's breaking the rules.
Yeah. It is forbidden.
Okay. Okay. More Kylo Ren style. More of this. In a quick second. We'll be right back. I guess for me, a couple of the other things I still want to talk about. Have we gotten confirmation that Rio is death now? I feel like that's what that was meant to be. And then when she's not in that final sequence, is that because she knows something about Billy? Or is that because she had to go collect the body of Alice because she's death? Like, she's not there at the end. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So is that 100% confirmed at this point?
I think her hanging back with Alice, that makes sense. And yeah, even like whenever it's like who's speaking and it's death and she laughs around the Ouija board, like it seems like they're trying to point us in that direction. Now, again, it could be like a fake out, but I feel like I haven't seen anything so far that makes me question that theory.
Yeah, this is another thing I love. We just talked for 30 minutes about all the questions from this episode, but there are still so many more. Like, for example, I don't know that we got a huge answer on Agatha's son, on what Rio and Agatha's relationship was. Like, if she is death, why not let Agatha die now? Like, she keeps claiming she wants to slit her throat.
Well,
and then when it comes to, okay, here's your chance for her to die, she doesn't do it.
But she doesn't. I think the difference there is it's not about her dying. It's about her being left with her mother and being like, you know, possessed by her mother for however long. And I think that's why she's not like, she thinks that is a fate worse than death, I think. And so that was my take, at least. We can see if there, again, there could be something different. I'm still thinking about the Green Witch side of it and how that factors into this idea that she would be death. But
did Agatha take Alice's power intentionally? Did she kill Alice? Or once the power sucking starts, you can't stop it? Do you think?
I kind of think that I felt like it was reflexive. Which kind of makes sense. Like, I can see how you wouldn't really be able to control that. Like, if the power is that if someone hits you with their magic, you like absorb it and take it. I can see how that just would be a thing that's operating that you can't necessarily like turn on and off. I don't know if that's what the rules are of that here, but I think especially when she's kind of seemingly on the verge of death or for eternal possession or however you would think about what was going on with her in the cabin. Like I could see that would be her automatic response. And I kind of, I almost feel like the anger that she has directed at Billy and kind of when she gets like really cruel for a moment, like that seems to me more indicative of like her being mad at herself. Like I think that she is actually feeling remorse, and I think it's because like that's not how she wanted that to go. Not, I don't think she's faking that. So like I read it as it actually was not her intention, but like it's almost this kind of like, okay, if you're going to think that I did this on purpose, like I'm just going to lean into it.
Yeah. This show is doing a really good job of riding the line between good and bad and the entire coven. Like they give you moments where the coven's almost coming together. And I think if they leaned too hard into that, I would find it kind of cheesy. Like, this is Agatha. She's so terrible. And yet she can just get along with this coven and it's friendly. And yet if they lean too far into they won't do anything together, then I don't think it works. Like the plot, like they would never even come with her. And they're doing a good job of riding that line to where you're constantly kind of guessing, like, is Agatha manipulating the situation or are there true, sincere feelings there? And I think that's a good thing for the show.
Yeah. No, I think so too. I love that I can't really figure out the main motivations of any of what I would think are kind of the three main characters at this point. Yeah. From Agatha to Teen slash Billy to Rio, like, I guess we know that Agatha wants to get her power back, but we still don't really understand what's going on with her and her son, who I guess we heard in the cabin.
What was the context of the Nicholas scratch? Like, when the Ouija board spelled that out, why was it spelling it out? I got to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, well, I mean, Teen was trying to do something to save Agatha, I think, and felt like there was like a level of the trial that they had not figured out yet. I thought that's why he went back to it, and then it spells out Nicholas Scratch or Scratch, and then he says that, and that is somehow what, like, after he says it, she stops hurting Alice, and then you hear like the voice of the kid saying, like, yeah, stop this and don't do anymore. But I don't know if, like,
yeah, so why was the trial passed then, I guess? What was the thing?
Yeah,
that's
a good question.
The trial. The trial was that Agatha had to be punished, correct?
Yeah. Or at least, like,
so, well, yeah.
I mean, because the choice was, yeah, all you have to do to win this trial, seemingly, is just leave Agatha and move on. But I was thinking, like, that can't be the actual trial, because if that were the case, then there's no way that they can all, like, there's no way for everyone to win the trial. And I feel like it's only fair if, like, there is a way that everybody could come out of it alive, even if you can't, even if it's really difficult to do. So I'm not really sure what the actual trial was there and who was being tested. Like, was it whether they would actually leave Agatha there? Was it like, was it Agatha having to kind of give voice to this thing that is the loss of her son? And that's what it was? Like, was that the punishment that, like, she had to actually confront that?
Just she had to live that? Yeah.
It's also interesting that we saw Agatha deal with both her mother and her son, and kind of the humanizing elements on both sides. I mean, the stuff, like, it was the scene with her mother. You definitely get a sense of, like, why Agatha is the way she is. And I feel like the other witches, for the first time, kind of felt legitimate sympathy for her. But then it's like that gives way to the moment with Alice, where it's like Alice feels bad enough to where Alice, like, goes to try to protect her. And then it's like that you're right. Like, that's where it rides the line. Like, is it like Agatha's, like, then using that to manipulate them even further and just take Alice's power? Or is it that's just what she does, like, automatically? But I don't know. It's like I everything I'm thinking of keeps leading me to, like, another question, which is why I love this episode so much.
Well, because even the flashback we saw to the Salem, you know, whatever, 1600s, I'm not even sure the takeaway from that flashback was that the mom was an awful person, right? Wasn't everyone kind of in agreement that Agatha was the problem? So, like, the fact that she's seeing, like, a ghost version of her mother who's, like, this evil spirit to punish her, I don't even know if that's, like, an accurate representation of her mother, meaning, like, it's like, it's like a demon she's seeing of it.
Well, but her mom did, like, her mom wanted to kill her, and she was the head of the coven. And so I think that, you know, from Agatha's perspective, her mother had set out to murder her. And
that
so
is,
like
that is something. Fair point.
So then, you know, which is why at that point it's like, okay, well, you're hitting me with all of your magic in an attempt to kill me. So I kind of think it's fair game for me to turn that on you. You know, it's not like she affirmatively kills them, although I think she is being put on trial for killing other witches. But you know, I feel like the whole thing with her being born evil, like that's also an interesting look at who Agatha really is and trying to figure out like how much does she actually have in common with Wanda in terms of the kind of traumatic stuff from her past that led her to be who she is. Like in episode 8 of WandaVision, she's so flippant as she's kind of going through Wanda's history. And I think there's something to be said for like getting more and more into Agatha's own history and realizing how much she's kind of projecting this person that doesn't really care about anything and is only concerned with power, but she's maybe like acting out of the same kind of hurt that Wanda was.
Last question for me. Do you think that Agatha Harkness survives the show? Ultimately, do you think she's going to make a sacrifice play? Like, do you think she's going to turn good? It feels like that's where they're heading. Do you think that the show has the cojones to try keeping her bad or just like killing her and Wiccan is actually the main character at the end? Like that character arc, do we need it to be redeemed by the end? Do we need to find out? Because, you know, they're hinting so much that you were evil since birth, blah, blah, blah. Is it going to then set up, well, she can choose to still be good and she's in control of her fate. And so,
yeah,
you know, is that too obvious?
That's a good question. At this point, it's hard for me to imagine her having an active role moving forward other than, you know, like in most of the comics I've read with Agatha Harkness, she is a figure that shows up and is consulted and then is gone. And you can kind of do that in comics, but it's also a different version of the character. Like she's older. She's like more kind of like a wiser figure, you know, where even if her motives are questionable at times, it makes more sense when people go to her for some kind of counsel or help. This version of Agatha, that role doesn't really make sense to me. So it doesn't really make sense that she would just kind of be sitting in the corner somewhere. Like, I don't know. I mean, again, it could happen. I was the one that was unsure what her role would be in the show, and I've loved it so far. But I think it would be more meaningful to get some redemption and then like a moment for her that feels earned and significant, and like that is the character's journey.
Right. I could totally see it being some version of we find out truly about her son and her son's past, and whatever that is not salvageable. Like it actually is just a traumatic, like her son is dead and she has nothing left. And yet in the final decision at the Witch's Road, she chooses actually to, it's like maybe it's either her or Teen, like one person gets the wish back and she chooses to sacrifice for Teen or somebody like that, and then ultimately dies. And then the character is not really a part of the MCU anymore, but the character has this tiny redemption at the end without it having to be like a massive, like it's Darth Vader basically, ending.
Yeah.
It feels like that's what they're setting up, because I'm also with you that I think in general, it's maybe in the MCU, not in the comics, but in the MCU, it's a character that I'm not sure how you would utilize it in all, you know, subsequent projects. Like I'm not sure you would need an Agatha all along season 2. And I'm not necessarily sure you would need her in like a final lineup in Secret Wars or interacting with Doctor Doom or anything like that.
Right.
So it feels like to totally tie a bow on the character, you get this series that gives you a ton more background into why she is the way she is, and then makes like a redemption play and is off the board. That's my guess, but They could do something different.
I think one thing that I love about the Billy reveal here is it makes the entire series feel more significant within the MCU, but also within this trilogy that we talked about before the premiere, where it's like, I was initially thinking, okay, like you have WandaVision, and then we know we're getting like a Vision show, and yeah, this will deal with like magic, but is it gonna kind of feel like this like random detour? And I really like that, like whatever happens now, it is a clear follow-up to both WandaVision and Multiverse of Madness. And so it's like, I think whatever happens with Agatha, I like that this is now going to feel much more like an essential thing. Like, I think I was thinking actually yesterday before episode 5, like, you know, I don't know if this is a show that I'll ever rewatch much, not because I dislike it, but because I was thinking like, you know, I just don't, it's the same reason I don't rewatch like Werewolf by Night much. Like every time I do, I'm into it, but it just doesn't really tie into the other MCU things in a way that like that makes me want to revisit it for any other reason.
There's not
much
more information to glean from it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not like, oh, this other project now like retroactively makes me want to check this out even more. But here, like even just after episode 5, I think I'm potentially changing my perspective there, because I think that this could wind up being much more like WandaVision in that regard than I thought.
In closing, I am really excited now to see what happens going forward. I would say that we didn't do this for each episode, but each episode was some version of like a let's go, maybe a let's go minus, maybe the fourth episode for me was a missed opportunity plus. Not that that makes me sad, but like, I don't know. I was a little bit, this is the first episode for me, I think, where I was just so glued the whole time that felt like a let's freaking go minus. Like, I still don't think I would say that was like as good as anything I've ever seen to say let's freaking go. But I was like full blown chills, glued in. And I didn't think this series would ever get there. For me, just subject matter, characters, etc. And so now I'm kind of just genuinely fascinated to see where it goes. I'll say this too.
Agreed.
We got a chance this week to talk to 4 actual different people that these episodes will be coming out pretty soon. We're not sure when or where. Robbie and I chatted with Kristen and Robert Anderson Lopez. You may not know that name, but I promise you know everything. These are the writers of Frozen, like Let It Go, Show Yourself,
the songs.
But in our case, the songs, the songwriters of all the WandaVision themes. WandaVision, all that stuff. They wrote bam, 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 Agatha All Along. And then they're writing like the Ballad of the Witch's Road here in this show. Mm-hmm. Crazy successful. Crazy talented people, and we chat with them. So that conversation will be coming really soon.
Yep.
Over on the Friends from Work Plus side, you, Robbie, have been, you and Candace did like a horror episode on, you. While you talk about, you tell me who you talked to.
Yeah. Well, we were reading have been reading Ice Cream Man, which is this, I think, existential horror comic, from W. Maxwell Prince and Martine Morazzo. It's really incredible and very disturbing. And I was really excited that we got a chance to talk to the people behind it, because Candace was like, is your first question going to be who hurt you?
Yeah, but why?
once we got into it, it was like, man, such a fascinating project from them. And they're clearly so invested in what they're doing. And we kind of had this conversation about the, you know, finding a level of beauty in this very dark subject matter, but also like how that kind of reflects where you are as a creator. And it was really fun. And I'm excited for us to kind of keep reading that comic now with that in mind. And so, yeah, that interview is going to be coming out soon as well. And we'll definitely have the full interview for folks on Friends from Work Plus. I want to try to get some of that out to our main audience as well, because they were really fun folks to talk to.
So lots of fun stuff coming. I just got to figure out when I can get that all together, edit that all. I am coming to you live from a hotel room in Utah. So shout out Utah listeners.
Let's go Utah.
It's jaw-droppingly beautiful. It's so beautiful here. If I could turn this camera and just show you out my window, you'd be mind blown. Just tons of red mountain rock, some lava rock that's black. It's really cool. Shout out Utah. But yeah, I got to get that stuff edited. We'll get that out to you. Agatha All Along episode 6 next week. So much going on. Shout out to all our sports fans and the fantasy football league we're doing and all the NFL. The hockey league is getting started up again. The hockey league. The NHL is getting started up again. So much fun stuff going on. This has been a blast. Man, this really just took me back. This is a throwback episode for me. Loved it. Love all of you guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you right back here next time on Friends from Work.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Stay warm and save every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.